I don't have flashbacks and nightmares anymore. And I have to tell you that it was so unfamiliar. The first thing I said, Greg asked me, how do I feel? And I said, it's so noisy in here. And he said, that's something a lot of people who have had the block experience, that the noise in your head is so loud. I didn't realize that flashbacks have audio.
That's Navy veteran Meriwether Ball talking about how the stellate ganglion block cured her PTSD. Up next, a veteran on the move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
If you're looking for a bookkeeping solution for your business, you need to check out Bench Bookkeeping. I've been using Bench for several years now, and it is the best automatic solution I have found. You can get your first month of Bench Bookkeeping for free and experience how great Bench is by going to veteranonthemove.com/bench. All right, I'm talking with Navy veteran Meriwether Ball. She's the founder of Core Stories and the author of three books. Meriwether, before we get to talking about some of the stuff you're doing, what you've been doing since you've been out of the Navy, take us back and tell us about what you did in the Navy.
Thanks, Joe. It's so great to talk to you. So I was in the Navy, and I went in the Navy Reserve in 1999. And just a couple years in, it was cut short, but I loved it, and it was pivotal for my life. I wrote for The Wire. I was they don't have anymore, JO3, third class petty officer at your service.
J, is that journalism?
Yeah, JO, yeah. And I think they're media rates now. And so they had a lot of, I was attached to the Quincy, Massachusetts depot, and they had a lot of actually news going on there, a lot of visits from dignitaries and brass, and some pretty interesting stories were written out of that little office and that little season of my life.
Yeah. And
but
so
the thing is, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, your Navy, some of your stuff in the Navy was cut short, and I was going to ask you what your transition was like.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I had a traumatic event happen in my family with my very young child. He was 5 years old at the time. And I was in on a single parent waiver. I had just gotten divorced. And the Navy didn't handle it very well, to tell you the truth. Now, it would have been a completely different story with Family Leave Act and a lot of different legislation that's been put in place to protect families. But basically, it was, you know, we can't deal with this. So, gotta go. So I left. It wasn't pretty. But I mean, I got an honorable discharge, but I had to fight for it. And that I'm really glad to have seen over the years that has improved for families and, you know, children. You've got to take care of your children, you know. So that's what that was like. It wasn't pretty, but I learned so much about military journalism in that short season, and it changed me. I had been an AP correspondent before that and afterward, but my whole view of news writing shifted while I was in the Navy Reserve from sort of objective, not really that great at being objective, but trying, to being absolutely not objective and an advocate for veterans and people serving. And, you know, it's a scary change to come back into print media at the time and kind of stake that claim, because it wasn't terribly accepted until after the war started.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, news writing changed for a lot of reasons then. And so that's what happened there.
And so when you went back into, you say you're an AP journalist, when you went back into regular journalism, I guess you would say, did you stick with it, or did you find you couldn't really fit in with that anymore?
I did, and it so at the same time, the Marine Corps had moved its reserve base off of Cape Cod, Otis Air Force Base, where it had some space there, out to central Massachusetts, where I was living at the time. And Fort Devens was an Army base that had that was closing and going through some transition. So the Marine Corps set up shop there, beautiful new buildings and a 125. And those bosses there, the INI bosses there, valued my Navy writing. And so they gave me an opportunity to write stories for the local paper about Marine Corps happenings within 125. So that was a big privilege, but it also gave me a lot of, in with the local editors. They loved that because they couldn't get on base to talk to these guys historically. So then I started to see the kind of go up against these editors. They didn't, they asked me, what if a Marine did something awful at Fort Devens? Would you be able to write about it? And I had to say no. I'm not the one to write hard news. I'm the one to write profiles about Marines who are firefighters and saving babies and that kind of thing. That's my style. So when that happened, the editors would roll their eyes and run my stories, but they were always front page above the fold. They really loved it, to tell you the truth. And so then I thought, this is my niche. And I launched corestories.com in Memorial Day 2002. And we've been live ever since. And it's just feature profiles about Marines and their supporters.
Wow, what a great project. for so many years in the Marine Corps for 24 years myself, over the years I adapted a philosophy of when reporters would come around and stuff, I would just tell everybody, don't ever, ever, ever trust a journalist. Be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, they're looking for that little controversial seed in everything they look at, and because that's what sells. And so you could be hanging out with them for a week and everything, and then the article comes out and you're like, what? That's what they pulled out of being with us for a week? That one little stupid thing?
Exactly, you know? Right. That's exactly
so, right. So you totally confirmed it. And of course, I'm not necessarily blaming journalists, because I do understand that people want to see the controversial. They want to know the dirt. They want to get behind the scenes and find out that controversial story. But unfortunately, those stories usually represent less than 1% of the rest of it, and everyone ends up focusing on that. So good on you for defending the honor of the Corps and only putting out the good stuff, and there is way more good stuff than bad stuff. So I appreciate that.
Well, that was how my writing shifted in the Navy. I mean, the Navy just trained me that, it's all propaganda. I hadn't really realized that, no matter whether it's good or bad, it's all slanted one way or the other. And so if I'm going to be the one penning a story, I want it slanted in a way that's going to help somebody. I don't want it to ruin somebody's life. But what's interesting is that at the time it was just shifting into the digital age. I mean, it was a whole lot of newspapers on front stoops in those days. And they got so much more reader response from these positive stories than they ever expected. So, I'm a firm believer that really there are a lot of people out there who really care about the hometown Marine and want to know, when did he graduate from boot camp? Mm-hmm. What is his reserve unit up to? Where did they go on AT? Did they go to Iceland? Did they go? They like it. They really do. So
Yeah. So, you do some PAO work for Dr. Lipov, who I don't know what I would call it. He's well known for the stellate ganglion block, and we've had him on the show about a year and a half ago to talk about it. And ever since then, I still get people that contact me saying, I want to have this done. How do I get a hold of him? How do I do this? Do you want to explain how you met Dr. Lipov and how you got involved as being his public affairs officer?
I throughout my life, I have had PTSD ever since I was a small child because of some pretty horrific childhood trauma. And I, didn't want anybody to know that in my professional life because I thought that it worked against me. And I, you know, it's something when people have PTSD, they really just want to be normal. You know, they just want to fit in. They don't want to be known for that. And then I had this awful childhood, and then I went through this domestic violence divorce, and then this terrible trauma to my child, and then a random act of violence. So it's just like a series of unfortunate events kind of life. But I don't ever recall not having PTSD until I saw this, mm-hmm. you know, in the Daily Mail of all publications, the London, you know, sensational, a very old newspaper, a story about him, and that there had been allocation for a clinical study of his work. But when I read that an injection in the neck had relieved nightmares and flashbacks for, you know, X dozen veterans, with a success rate of over 80%, I wanted to be the next in line because, you know, if you have PTSD, and I'm sure a lot of people in your audience either do or know someone who does, you really try everything. And I was no different. I had tried counseling. I had tried pharmaceutical remedies. But the only thing that had helped was not drinking. I got sober when I was 24 years old, and I'm still sober today, 31 years now. But really nothing else helped relieve the constant symptoms. And for me, it was probably thousands of times a day that I had flashbacks. And then every night was torture. The worst part of my day was, you know, falling asleep at night because of the nightmares. But you're so accustomed to it, you kind of can't think about what life would be afterward. But when I read this story, I had hope. And I, within 10 minutes of reading the story, I had found his email address and sent an email to his research assistant and said, please let me be the next person in line. Please put me, I don't care if I have to sell the house, I will be in Chicago. when you can have me. It's the only place that he performs at his offices in Chicago. And so I got an email back, and, you know, one thing led to another. And 6 weeks later, on the 14th of July, 2017, I got my stellate ganglion block. And that moment that I woke up from that, I have been a completely different person since, completely different brain since. I don't have flashbacks and nightmares anymore. And I have to tell you that it was so unfamiliar. The first thing I said, Greg asked me, how do I feel? And I said, it's so noisy in here. And he said, that's something a lot of people who have had the block experience, that the noise in your head is so loud. I didn't realize that flashbacks have audio, and that the it's not just a visual thing, but all the voices of the audio or the sounds of the traumatic events constantly replaying actually take up audio space. So when that was gone, I was hearing the ambient noise, and it occurred to me that, you know, I've probably missed a whole lot of life because I've not really been listening very carefully. I didn't have the capacity to. And so But I described myself as sort of a bullet shot out of a gun from that moment on. And that's been the truth.
If you're still keeping the books for your business, you might want to consider getting that task off your desk so you can work on your business instead of working in your business. Bookkeeping is a perfect example of one of the many challenges small business owners face. For several years, I struggled with my bookkeeping, and to be honest, many times it just didn't get done because I was too busy with more important things, like running my business. You can experience a free month of Bench Bookkeeping and see how liberating it is to have bookkeeping off your plate by going to veteranonthemove.com/bench. All right, we're back talking with Navy veteran Meriwether Ball. Meriwether, you were talking about your experience with Dr. Lipov and getting the stellate ganglion block. And you literally, as you were waking up from anesthesia, knew that something was different because it was really noisy in there. And all of a sudden, all the noise of PTSD and flashbacks was gone from your head and you were feeling normal, which is something you really hadn't felt for most of your life.
That's exactly right. It was very, very unfamiliar and not the least bit frightening. So I felt like if this would work, and immediately I knew that it had, I had a whole lot of catching up to do, Joe. I had gotten thrown out of university, Texas Tech University, when I was 20-something years old for bad behavior. And although I had developed an epic drinking problem in Lubbock, Texas, getting sober didn't cure all of that. My intellect was really, really limited by PTSD. It's like I'm just firing on all cylinders. I'm going from maybe two out of six cylinders to six cylinders of a Jaguar engine. I mean, I was, my mind. So the proof is that immediately I was applied to Regent University, which is a tier two university here in Virginia Beach, and told them my story. And they said, you can finish your degree here. But they said, fair warning, we have a 93 grading basis for an A. And we only have a 48% graduation rate. And I said, bring it on. And in 15 months, I finished my Bachelor of Arts, 54 credits with a 3.96 GPA, magna cum laude. And awesome. I have never been able to perform like that on an academic. And it wasn't that hard, to tell you the truth.
Oh, that's great.
And then now I'm enrolled in Texas Tech, just to close that circle, the grad program, and both of these in communications. And then the big news is, as of last week, I've been accepted to a Master of Science program at London School of Economics. That begins at the end of this year, to figure out how to make core stories a far more useful and impactful, if it's such a word, publication, and to grow it and remain nonprofit. We've been a nonprofit since 2005, but keeping the budget lean, but to grow like capitalism, really grow. So I have really big dreams, and it seems like so many organizations are accommodating, are hopeful with me. You know, they see my vision and they bring it on. So in these months, I have realized that Dr. Lipov's public affairs was really fragmented. So I developed a site for him, lipovblock.com and lipovsgb.com, where his scholarly articles, patient interviews, media interviews, including yours, are collected. Mm-hmm. And so that when people try to research him, they can, you know, kind of find this one-stop shop to get, you know, all the good content. So but it's all pro bono. You know, I don't charge him a dime and I wouldn't dream of it.
I know, you know, a couple years ago we did the interview. He's actually a really nice guy. I mean, he was really just down to earth, good dude, you know, like a good person. And he was actually going to jump in on the interview with us today. But I guess he had to Yeah, had to got a call to the ER, or the OR, or something. So, I thought, well, let's just hear it from your perspective, somebody that's actually had the block done. I've had a couple people that I know of since the last interview that found him because of this podcast and went and had it done. And the same story, it was like from right after they came out, they're like, oh my God, I'm cured. I mean, it was that significant for them.
Well, it's been coming up on, 18 months. It was 18 months yesterday, Joe.
Good timing.
So anyway, it's been a wonderful ride, but I'm completely confident in it, of course, by now. But when I saw that you had done this interview with him and collecting all of this content, I was thrilled because, you're a Marine officer, you're a senior Marine officer telling this story. And I thought, man, that's as good as it gets in my world.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, I think somebody in his organization, looked me up and said, hey, and I'm like, I had no idea what it was. I do a lot of interviews like that where I'm like, I don't know how this one's going to go or what this is all about. And then I'm so pleasantly surprised, like every time, that it turns out as good as it does. And, he was certainly one of those cases. I'm like, I'd never heard of that. I watched a bunch of his videos and he's testified in front of Congress and everything. And it's just an amazing story. For those of you that may not know the stellate ganglion block, and tell me if I'm off here, we have a few different nerve bundles in our body, and they've proven that from PTSD, these nerve endings in these bundles become elongated. And that's essentially what causes hypersensitivity and quick temper and all those kind of symptoms of PTSD. And they've figured out that the stellate ganglion block is usually used for some people that have hand and arm pain. They basically numb the nerves and kind of reset everything. And then when it comes back, a lot of times it can fix or help other type of medical conditions. And they started noticing that people with PTSD that had this done for other reasons noticed that their PTSD was gone afterwards. And they actually could go in and look, and they would see those nerve endings that had grown out had truncated. They numb it, and it somehow has the effect of truncating those nerve endings. And so it basically resets that nerve bundle back to normal. And, and it has the effect of taking that individual back to normal again. And you're one of those cases where 20 plus years, 20 years and beyond, you go back to normal, which for you is now, in the beginning was abnormal. You didn't know what it was like to be normal.
Right. Well, in my case, I'm not a scientist, and although I'm his public affairs officer, I do not discuss the science of it well, but I do know that in my case, essentially these nerves were the nerves that go to the part of your brain where memory is stored. And it's just like a live wire. It's just constantly tapping on the memories. Mm-hmm. And so the flashbacks come, but it's the side effects that are so bad. It's the anxiety from revisiting all of that. It's the cortisol release and the stress. And so when those nerves were truncated, like you well described, and that memory is not being involuntarily recalled, it's so relaxing. And it's not that I don't remember what happened to me. I completely remember it, but not like yesterday. It's like any other thing. Somebody asked me, well, can you remember a trauma that happened to you when you were 8 years old? And I said, I can, but as much as I can remember that birthday that year,
Mm-hmm.
So it's not these terribly vivid, awful experiences. And I'll tell you, the other side of it, Joe, is I could not live 10 minutes now with the PTSD symptoms that I had for 50 years. And so when I read about somebody who has lost their life because of PTSD, which is basically a terminal illness, I have to say, I get it. It's so excruciating to be reminded of something involuntarily, you know, throughout every conscious waking hour, you know. Serious business.
Yeah.
This is a big, it's a big breakthrough. And now there's been this clinical study that's completed, and I guess they're looking for publication in these journals out of Fort Bragg. And it was very successful. So apparently the backstory is that the brass at the Pentagon have reviewed this and now are taking it seriously. But, you know, it's being performed right now in 5 different VA and military hospitals. So it's Dr. Lipov's research to figure out how this works, to make it happen. And his pressing has really brought it a long, long way. It's a good thing.
And, you know, the stellate ganglion block has been around for like 100 years. I mean, the actual procedure has. Yeah. The issue is getting the medical community and the military to use it for the purpose of treating PTSD. It's always been treated for other issues like hands and arms type stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's much like getting an epidural, except this nerve bundle is up in your neck instead of your lower back. So, and it, you know, it only numbs it for a short time and then
5 minutes.
And oftentimes, like I think it's the case with yourself, most of the time you only have to have it done once. At the most, somebody may come back a second or third time and have it done again if they need to. But a lot of people only get it done once and they're good.
Right. And even if they have to get it done a second, a third, tenth, whatever, if the point is that it gives you some relief that you've never experienced. If I had to, there's a Marine I met when I was visiting Dr. Lipov's office who had it for the first time. And he put it very well. He said, if I have to have this every month for the rest of my life, I would do it because the relief is so profound.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, somebody listening to this, what's the best way to get a hold of Dr. Lipov's organization if they wanted to get put in the queue to possibly have this procedure done?
Yeah. So the easiest thing to do is to go to lipovblock.com, LIPOVBLOCK.com, or LipovSGB for stellate ganglion block.
Mm-hmm.
.com. Go to the same site. And it's very easy navigation. And then just go through to patient information or patient contact. And you'll see an email, an 800 number. And Greg, the research assistant, is really very, very responsive. And he's the one who screens you and puts you, you know, in the queue. It can happen quite quickly. It's very affordable. No insurance covers it at this point for mm-hmm. this purpose. The stellate ganglion block, like you said, is covered, but it's not for this purpose. And so the price for veterans is $1,600 and for non-veterans is $2,000. And that includes everything, the anesthesia and uh-huh. everything. So...
Yeah, there's not many surgeries you can pay cash for that are that cheap. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a small price to pay for the amount of, you know, and the efficacy rate, which I, you know, Marine logic means the success rate is over 80%, right?
It is.
Which is unheard of. I mean, so many procedures are like, they're bragging about something being less than 10% success rate. And this is over 80%. So it's incredible.
Yeah.
So Meriwether, I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit more about core stories. How do we find that? And I'm also curious, how often are you publishing new content there? And how do you have access to Marines these days and to do stories with that?
Yeah. So I would ask your visitors to please wait until next Monday because we've got a whole beautiful rollout coming on next Monday.
Awesome.
But it's corestories.com, just like it sounds, two S's in the middle. And I, you know, by now I have such a network of Marines I've written about, and many of them have become friends. And so I've followed them along. And then my books, you know, I wrote about Chesty Puller, his relationship with the family church, and that created a whole new network for me. And then the top tier medal recipients in all of Marine Corps history. And the first book of that series is Great Marines of Virginia, of course, because Virginia is the best state. But
where Chesty Puller's from.
It's where Chesty Puller's from, and more commandants have come from Virginia than any others.
But, oh, really? I didn't know that one.
Yeah. And but the main thing is that I'm on sabbatical from my writing right now while I finish this academic pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's summer of 2020, so about 18 months from now when I go back to writing. And but there's a lot of great content on there. There will be no new content unless something extraordinary happens. But basically, it's just unsung Marines. There's a few celebrity stories, but that's not my terribly interest. I really love the ordinary Marine who goes from, you know, his ordinary family and ordinary beginnings to doing extraordinary things in life. And I think they're so inspiring. They certainly have inspired me, and I think they inspire everyone.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks, Meriwether, for sharing your personal experiences and with Dr. Lipov with the stellate ganglion blocks. Be sure to look that up if you or somebody you know could be a good candidate for that. And also check out corestories.com and wait until actually your episode's. If you have your website launched by Monday, this is when your episode's coming out. So by the time someone hears this, hopefully it'll be up and running.
It's up. It's just not beautiful. It's going to be really beautiful next Monday, though.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks again, Meriwether. And
hey, Joe, thank you for everything you do. I mean, this is a big piece of work you got going on here, and I just want to applaud you for taking it on and sticking with it so long.
You bet. I get more out of it than anybody, so I really enjoy it. So thanks for being here, and thanks for making contact with me on this. And it's been great hearing your story and seeing that Dr. Lipov is still going strong. I look forward to, you know, his success and your success in the future. And by all means, stay in touch.
Thank you.
All right.
Likewise.
These two veterans are Oscar Mike. As you can tell from listening to the Veteran on the Move podcast, interviews are a great way to tell your story and spread the word about your business. If you would like to get booked as a podcast guest, I recommend Interview Valet. You can check out Interview Valet at veteranonthemove.com/valet. Be sure to check out thrive15.com, the world's premier online education platform that helps entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs learn how to start or grow a successful business. Start your free 30-day membership by going to thrive15.com and use the promo code VETERAN. Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.